Hi, I'm Eric from HealthDemystified.com, where we reveal the secrets to long-term health, fitness, and success. Now, today on our expert interview series, we have Dr. Joe Leonardi. He's a chiropractor who has such an amazing story of triumphing over tough times and losing a good 200 pounds. He was at one point 340 pounds, and now he lost it. Now he's down to 200 pounds. He's gone through such a, you know, amazing life journey. And, you know, I decided to have him on the show so he can kind of share his story and also, like, some tips that have helped him to lose the 140 pounds that was really, like, weighing him down, quite literally. So, hey, Joe, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Eric. I like being here.
Yeah. Now, first thing I ask everyone I have on the show is, can you just tell us a little bit about your story and kind of how you got to be who you are and, like, how you came to do what you do?
Oh, well, I'm a chiropractor. I've been in practice since 1997, and I've been involved with sports off and on. Throughout my chiropractic career, I've been the team chiropractor for several professional and semi-professional organizations up here, including our formerly Arena Football League 2 football team. Back in, I guess it would have been around 2005, I had a little incident where I was choking on some food, and after many misdiagnoses, I found out what was wrong. But that particular incident probably led to maybe the darkest time in my personal story, because that illness kept me out of my practice for a long time, and at the same time I was running for Congress. As everything was going on and my money was being drained at a rate that I still, looking back, can't believe, I ended up pretty much flat broke. I went through all my savings, my retirement accounts, my life insurance policies, you name it, wherever I had some money, it was gone. In that time frame, my marriage was falling apart. My dad died. A year later, my mom died. And like I said, my business was in failure. And I turned to what I like to call the demonic duo of alcohol and food. And my reaction to that adversity was turn to those two, I don't know if comfort's the right word, but they were comforting. I got through my days on a sugar high, and I was able to shut my brain off by downing a good fifth of whiskey every evening. In October of 2007, I woke up one morning. It was a Saturday morning. I had purchased three-fifths of this particular whiskey on Friday. Two of them were gone. I sat with my head in my hand thinking, what would my parents think, and why am I not really dead after consuming that much alcohol? I poured the third one down the sink, and I can count on two hands how many drinks I've had since then. And in March of the following year, I was coming home, and after having lost everything, I had a small apartment on the second floor, walking up the stairs and realizing I can only walk halfway up.
Wow.
Without having to stop. Yeah, I had to stop to catch my breath. So the next morning, I did something. I wiped the dust off my scale. I jumped on top of it, and the numbers 340 appeared. But, you know, it's amazing how the human mind works.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, nah, this is impossible. Because I had been a power lifter in another incarnation of my life. I thought, yeah, I'm just a big, strong guy.
Right.
I got to my office. My office manager snapped two pictures, one from the front and the dreaded side view, as I like to call it. And I put those up on my computer, and I didn't see a powerlifting physique looking back at me. I saw a pin-sized head atop a rotund, pear-shaped, very soft body. And I broke down for a good hour. I closed my door, my office manager said, we have patients. I'm like, I can't come out. And once I regained my composure, I thought, okay, you know what? Self-pity's over. You did it to yourself. They were your choices. I took out three sheets of paper. And I had been a personal trainer at one point. I do physical rehabilitation in my office, and I had been a team chiropractor. So
yeah.
I drew out an exercise program based on all of those particular experiences in education. I then took a low-carb eating approach. I had read Dr. Atkins' book years ago, modified it a little bit, and wrote up the guidelines for five to six different feedings I was going to have a day. And then on the last sheet of paper, I jotted down 8 little tips to keep myself focused. And I made my decision. That was it. Then I did something that I encourage everyone to do before they're going to start this the next day. I called my doctor, who happened to be across the hall, and had a medical checkup. I had recently had some cardiac workup, so I wanted to make sure my health was okay. Took a break, ran over to my old gym, reactivated my membership, went for pizza because I knew I wasn't going to have that again for a while. And
Last Supper, right?
Yeah, pizza and ice cream, and then the next morning I started exercising and started watching what I ate again.
Yeah.
A year later, the scale read about 200 pounds. My weight fluctuated a little bit. I was happier at 210. I maintained that for about a year and a half to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I got the weightlifting bug for competition, and I bulked up about 50 pounds for a strongman contest.
Yeah.
But I ended up not being able to enter because of a shoulder injury. And Easter of this year, I was around 248. This morning I was 221. I'll be back down to 210 in another 2 or 3 weeks. So
that's pretty much it. Wow, that is, such an amazing journey, really. Like, it seemed like you had to come to that point, like that low point in your life, like kind of hitting rock bottom before you could really, finally get the motivation to really, make that drastic life change.
Well, and that's the expression they use with a lot of different types of addictions is, bottoming out. And, I looked up the steps and it's almost like, looking down from a ditch. Mm-hmm. I'm looking up the steps and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. There's only like 2 dozen steps here. I'm sitting there winded, gasping for air. And then there are little things you realize. Like, I don't think I had bought a pair of lace-up shoes in a year because I couldn't bend over to tie them. I remember going to restaurants and diners and, if you have a table, because you don't want the embarrassment of not being able to squeeze yourself into a booth. Or going on an airplane. I mean, when the first time I flew without my now ex-wife, I felt so bad for the person sitting next to me because I was spilling over. And there's these little things that limit your life, and the only person or anything you can blame is yourself, in my opinion, because I allowed it to occur. I'm the one who I may not have consciously said, hey, I only turned 40 pounds, but through my actions of, consuming massive amounts of food and not doing any exercise, I pretty much chose to weigh 240 pounds, whether, anyone likes to hear that or not, it's pretty much the truth.
Ah, so, how were you able, you're taking, a lot of personal responsibility for your own, health and your own weight. How did you move from, blaming others and, blaming genes and blaming everyone else and kind of starting to take personal responsibility?
I think it was that hour or so of just sobbing, because when I got done, I realized that, we are responsible for, we're not responsible for everything. And if I walk into a crosswalk and get hit by a semi, that's not my fault. But there's certain things you can control in life, and in all honesty, there's only one real person you can control is yourself, and you can control what you put into your gullet and the amount of effort you put out. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm blaming everybody else. I remember my ex-wife, the separation, okay, it happened, it's over, and I keep saying, no, but it's not, it's playing on my mind. And then I remember my father who emigrated to this country and didn't know the language and made a life for himself. And I thought, wow, this just isn't good. Or my grandfather on my mother's side, who I never knew, who, was an owner-operator of coal mines, and he was an immigrant with no education. And I think, this is where I come from, and I'm acting like a sniveling little coward. And I'm a military person. And one of the worst things you can ever call a military person is a coward, and I was calling myself a coward for my reaction. I thought, no, this isn't it. This is not the way if I'm going to die, damn it to hell, I'm going to die fighting. And I decided to come back and fight for my life and my health.
Yeah, definitely, and obviously you've been able to do that. Now, once you decided, once you finally made that decision, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to change my habits, was it an easy ride? Like, did it just, like, you know, was it, like, smooth like butter?
Yeah, it was very easy because, now, breaking the sugar addiction, I wrote about in my book, and it's kind of funny what I had done. Yeah, I still crave, but even to this day, I still have cravings for sugar. There's no lying about it. There's no denial. And one of the things I did to keep it in my mind, and if anybody was checking out my YouTube channel, I introduced a person behind me. There are two pictures. They're those pictures I was telling you about, mm-hmm. the front and side view. And I call that guy Joe340. And those pictures, to this day, go everywhere with me. They're in my room, next to my bed. They're on my cell phone. There's no more pictures in the car because I bought a different car. I forgot to take them out. But they're on my cell phone. Those pictures are always there to remind me. And it's not the appearance part. It's the unhealthy part I think of. It's the not being able to walk up a flight of steps, not being able to fit into a booth, not being able to tie my shoes. And they got me through it. And then to break my sugar addiction, I did something that people thought I was nuts. I went to a grocery store that does all the baking at night. And I went in for a whole week with no money. And since I'm honest, I was, you know, raised by parents who taught me never to steal, I would never take anything. I couldn't buy anything. And then after for 1 week of doing that, I went in for another week with $100 in my pocket. And it was funny, at that point the manager came up to me, I think he thought I was casing the joint. So I had to tell him what I was doing.
Right. That's so funny, and then, wow.
And then on the very last time in there, they happened to just put out lemon meringue pie, and I love lemon meringue pie. So I buy a lemon meringue pie, I take it out into the parking lot, I pop the top off of it, I just jam my hand down through the fluffy meringue all the way down into the grand crust. I pick it up to my nose, and I could just smell that lemon, and I just dump it in the garbage and walked away.
Wow.
And, you know, because facing problems head-on or fears head-on are some of the best ways to overcome them, and that was my way of doing my whole... Like, I have a horrible fear of heights, mm-hmm. but it never stops me from doing anything. I was in Santa Monica with my nephew, and he wanted to go on the Ferris wheel, and I'm petrified of Ferris wheels as far as the heights.
Right.
I was on there with them. You know, I don't let my fears stop me. And over time, and this summer, I told my girlfriend, we're going to go and find a bunch of zip lines. I'm zip lining in the summer.
That is crazy. That's awesome. Talk about living life to the fullest.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do with the food, though. That's what you have to do. You have to face it head on. And sometimes it might beat you. And I have planned splurges throughout my throughout the book. I mentioned them. I used to do them once every week or two. Now I do them once every 2 months. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I always tell people, don't plan for the splurge. You know, make up your mind what you're going to have. I happen to, there's this great little diner in upstate New York in the Finger Lakes that makes, Mom, I'm sorry. Mom, my grandma, I'm sorry. That makes the best lasagna I've ever eaten in my life. You know, we're going to go up there. You know, we're going to take a Wednesday. Wednesday's my day off. And I'm going to go up and have some lasagna and buy some ice cream for dessert. But I don't plan for that day. I plan for the next day. So before I go, all my meals for the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be prepared.
Yeah.
So this way there's no backsliding, mm-hmm. which is important. It's always plan for the day after the splurge. Not the splurge itself, because what the hell you have to plan for? You're going to eat something. You plan for the day after so you don't have any of those foods in your line of vision. Because sugar addiction is powerful. I'm not going to ever sit here and say it's not, but me, you, and everyone else, we have the internal makeup and the intestinal fortitude to fight that and break it off, and we just have to call it from deep in ourselves, and it takes some planning to do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, what do you do when you kind of, if you mess up, like, or if you run across any, like, obstacles that get in your way, and, like, you just, yeah, what do you do then?
I burst through them.
You just bust through them.
I don't let them get in my way.
Okay, what if you just, like, you know, you kind of feel like you fell into a ditch, you know, you feel like you're back to where you started, like, you know, kind of, you get that feeling. What do you do then?
I go for a jog.
You just go for a jog.
I let the endorphins from the exercise, you know, build me up. Or I'll go for a long walk, depending on where I am. I don't, you know, failure is okay, but quitting is not. And so I don't let those momentary, I mean, financially my situation is still not that great. And I, you know, have my times where I worry about my issues. Some nights I lose a little bit of sleep over it. But then I think, I put it in my head, what's good in my life? My girlfriend, her daughter, you know, we're a family, that's good. My little puppy I'm sitting here on the porch with, that's the good things in my life. I have my health now. I mean, I don't have health insurance. The reason I get into that contest, the reason I withdrew from the strongman contest was because I had a shoulder injury. Now, I could treat the shoulder injury, but if I damage it even more, I can't afford a surgical procedure at this point. So you put, you know, common sense ahead of ego, which is not easy for somebody like me. You put common sense ahead of ego at times. And as far as the obstacles, well, you know, sometimes are, you know, if they're really bad and you're feeling down in the dumps, yeah, you know, take your family out or be by yourself, depending on how you deal with better. Some days I want to be alone. I tell my girlfriend, hey, look, I'm going for a drive. I run through the bad things. I let myself worry about them for those few minutes or, you know, half an hour to an hour. And then I put them in a little drawer somewhere because I say, what can I take care of now? Well, you can pay this bill. Okay, so I make a little note to myself, pay this bill tomorrow morning. Can you do this one? No. Okay, well, you know what? Put it off to the side right now. Or is there this problem I can't overcome? Or can I overcome this one? Right. And then I take care of the ones I can, and the ones I can't, I push to the side, and then I take them out of my little imaginary box next week. Then I run through them again, the ones I can deal with, I do, and then I don't dwell on them because the dwelling is what led to my poor reaction. And worst comes to worst, if I ever see it, not worst comes to worst, when those obstacles rear their ugly head and the cravings kick in, I grab out the picture of Joe 340, and that pretty much stops it right in its tracks.
Gotcha. So you always have, you know, pictures to remind you of your past.
Yeah.
And that keeps you going.
And again, my big thing is I don't never make it about appearance. It's about the health. And the other thing is, too, the body, you may have psychological cravings for the junk food, but the human body will crave what it needs. And that's why I always tell people weight loss is a side effect of fitness. Fitness is not the end result of weight loss.
Right.
So when you're fit, you may start craving foods like lean red meats, lean chicken, vegetables. Once I'm back down to maintaining, I'll put fruit back into my diet. These are the things that my body will now crave. So even if I'm feeling a little bit down, my body doesn't really want the sugar soaked junk food anymore because it's not even that appealing to me.
Right, exactly. Now, what I feel is, like, my friend actually... at the hospital where I work, was actually giving me this analogy. Like, making, like, any big life change, like deciding to lose weight, like over 100 pounds or whatnot, it's kind of like starting to roll a big, heavy stone boulder down the street. Now, when you first get started, it takes a lot of effort to kind of just, like, move this even 1 inch. But then as you kind of keep moving it, it kind of gets faster and faster, and you kind of build up momentum. And kind of like when that momentum builds up, it kind of just keeps going. And even when you want to stop, like that boulder kind of keeps moving forward, and you keep progressing on, you know, the right path.
So yeah, he's exactly right.
So now how do you, like, what three things can you recommend someone do if they're just getting started, and, you know, it's really hard to move that boulder. It's really hard to get started on their path to weight loss. What are, like, the three most important things you think, you know, can help them?
Yeah, I want to give you one before the three, though. Get a medical checkup.
Okay.
I can't emphasize that enough. You know, make sure that you don't have an underlying medical condition. Because what we're talking about obesity because of poor choices. I don't ever want to let someone know, because there are thyroid issues, there are endocrine disorders out there, and that has to be evaluated for, and we can't ever discount that in our battle with obesity. So get a medical checkup, and then what you can do is, if you know you're good, you get home, you walk in your house, and the first thing you do is you throw away all the crap. It doesn't matter what you spent on it, you know, give it to a pantry or a shelter if you feel bad about just throwing it in the garbage. Get it out of your house. If man, as Jack LaLanne always said, if man made it, don't eat it. If it comes in a box, if it comes in, if it's a processed food in a can like a soup, anything like that, get it out of your house. The next thing you do, go for groceries and shop the perimeter. Get, you know, your food if you can afford it, you know, grass-fed meat. I know not everybody can afford the grass-fed beef, but, you know, lean cuts of meat if you can't afford grass-fed. Poultry, fresh vegetables. Since we don't do fruit in the beginning, don't worry about fruit too much. Make sure you have all your fresh vegetables and stuff like that in your house. And then the last thing, write out a plan. If you put it down in front of you in writing, like I had did, you can refer back to it. And when you put it down in writing and then say it to yourself out loud, it just reinforces it.
Gotcha. Wow. So, awesome tips. And, you know, it's great having you here for this interview. Now, what if our listeners here want to get to know you more? Or, you know, like, what do you have going on? Can you give us I guess what I call a shameless plug on, like, what's going on and, you know, your products or services?
I'm a good old capitalist. I'll take a shameless plug any day.
All right. Well, me too, absolutely.
If you want to read about my story, I wrote a book. It's called Fat Then, Fit Now, A Life Beyond Weight Loss. Mm-hmm. It is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. I think the paperback is under $10, and the ebook, I believe, is under $5. Those prices aren't going to stay around because I'm working on the second edition, which I hope to have done. I'm sorry, I don't hope to have it. I will have done within the next 4 weeks, and that's going to be significantly more expensive. If you want the cheapy version, knock yourself out. Yeah. My website is fatthenfitnow.com. That has links to my YouTube channel, my blog, and some other things. And come August 1st, and this is partially out of my control, but if all things go well, my website, Fat Then Fit Now, will become a pay site with instructional videos, coaching, mentoring, and if all goes well, we're going to have weekly webinars for a very reasonable price. Right now I'm thinking probably no more than $15 a month, because I want to get it out there to people to let them know that they can do it and take control of themselves. And I'm no better than anybody else. I was at my bottom. Some people may be worse off. Some people may not be so bad off, but I want to help people look inside themselves and reach in and say, you know what? That fat chiropractor from Northeast Pennsylvania did it, and he's got some good ideas, and he can help me do it, and I can too live a better life just like he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're living it. You've lived it, and you're living it. You know, and I really feel like people can see that, you know, and I'm sure, like, you know, the listeners here, and even I'm impressed. Like, honestly, like, it's so wonderful to meet someone who not only, like, preaches it, but also lives it.
Well, and that's what you have to do. You have to believe in it yourself. And I also do, I forgot one more little shameless plug. I have to do motivational speaking, and you can reach me through the website where I will come to a group. I charge a flat fee, no expenses included, anything like that. I have a flat fee. What I quote you on the phone is a quote. I will come to a group, and it could be 3 people or it could be 300. It's irrelevant. If you want to charge for the event and pay me my flat fee, that's fine, too. I don't really care. And I come, and I do about an hour to 2-hour presentation, depending on questions, and I bring it through all, and I hope to get people motivated and excited.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Joe. I really appreciate it. And for all of you guys listening out there right now, I encourage you to check out you know, Joe's site, and I'll have that linked up at the bottom there, you know, in the show notes. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great night, and take care, and always live life to the fullest.
Thank you, Eric. All right.